Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to look at the first 8 verses. Genesis chapter 6. And starting in verse 1, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace, how sweet the sound. That's what we're going to look at this morning. I suppose we could read, look with me at verse 7. I suppose we could read it this way. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, but not Noah. I will destroy man, but not Noah and his family. But really, that's what verse 13 is saying. Look with me at verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So that's what he's saying. We don't have to guess what he's saying. That's what the Lord God is saying. Verse 8 is what I'd like to concentrate on in this word. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace, full, free, amazing, soul cleansing, washing, elective, and particular. Oh, that to those whom God bestows it upon, grace upon, solely based upon God's covenant blessings and Christ's shed blood and the Holy Spirit's total enabling, grace indeed. Grace indeed. John Newton wrote, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And I say, Mr. Newton, how sweet the work of grace is, how sweet the truth of grace is, and how sweet the power of it is to us who do not deserve it. Well, what I'd like to look at this morning is what can we, or what does this book tell us about this marvelous word in truth? Now, just statistically, the word grace appears 170 times in the Bible. The word gracious, 31, and the word graciously, 4. Yet for today, I'm interested in what it means as God bestowing it upon ruined and wrecked sinners. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, the only difference was marked upon him was God's grace. He wasn't any better, any worse, probably worse, who knows. He wasn't any different. It's like we looked at last week or the week before, I guess it was the week before, to Exodus 11, that when the Israelites were leaving the last plague, the dead, the firstborn were killed, 600,000 men and children. So there's a lot more than that. We're leaving Egypt, and God said, not a dog is going to bark. Not a dog is going to move its tongue. He said, therefore, the showing the distinction between you and the Egyptians. There is a distinction, and grace makes that distinction, but we don't have a say in it. That's what's beautiful about it. Today, there are several qualities and characteristics, I think, first of all, about grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's always because of, and it's always in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is the ultimate cause of this free, unmerited favor toward sinners. Grace is always because of and found in Christ. John chapter 1. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. And of his fullness, God in Christ, have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Starting in verse 24, Acts 18, and starting in verse 24, and certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. Had believed through grace. The only way a person can truly believe is through grace. And the only way a person gets grace is by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 will start in verse 3 and go to verse 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So grace is always because of and always found in Christ. Secondly, grace, when it speaks of in the scriptures, is always free. It's always free. Christ purchased it with this precious and pure blood sacrificed upon Calvary's tree. We can never earn it. We cannot buy it. We cannot pay for it or work towards it. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Grace is free. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he, Christ, hath purchased with his own blood. It's done. Christ has purchased it, and it cannot be bought or paid for any other way. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Now we can look at verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's been paid for. It's not anything that we can earn. And he says in Peter, 1 Peter, in the first chapter, you don't have to turn there, in verse 18, it's, we are redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ. It's free. It's free. It's paid for. When he sees the blood, to use an Old Testament reference, he'll pass us by. Not our blood, not even the blood of bulls and goats, that blood that was shed on Calvary's tree by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this grace that we speak of and that we understand and this church is named after perhaps, this grace is sovereign. Sovereign, or what we mean by the term is, it is supreme, it is absolute, and it is dominant. That is, it is owned by God, and He can dispense it to whomsoever He pleases. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This grace is always in Christ. It's always free. And it's sovereign. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign. Reign. Through the righteousness unto eternal life by Christ our Lord. Grace reigns. That's kind of where it all came from. Sovereign, where is that? Grace reigns through righteousness. Not our righteousness, Christ's righteousness. Those who are the recipients of this free favor unto salvation are not in the least deserving of it. And as a matter of fact, they're not worthy to receive it. He simply bestows it according to covenant blessings, which He and the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, so to speak, ratified before the world was even created. But it is of God, so He will get all the glory. And I will say this, those countless numbers who do trust alone in our Lord Jesus Christ are the most thankful and grateful of people that ever walked this earth and ever lived. I was reading somebody's bulletin, Scott Richardson or somebody wrote, if a person ever gets bored with the gospel, they never knew the gospel. If they ever get bored, if you can get bored with the Lord Jesus Christ, constantly, you know, thinking about what He's done and where He's at and who He's done it for, that can't be. That can't be. Now, I'm not saying we don't get tired. We don't get bored. That's just human nature. But if God has ever, if you've ever found that illustration, if you ever found that pearl of great price, you will literally and figuratively and spiritually get rid of everything. Sell everything that you may have that. That one pearl of great price. And people say, well, isn't that a burden? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you'll find peace and rest. Now, it is a labor. It is a burden. But when we stand back and we see that His grace is free, His grace is sovereign, His grace is found only in Christ, and if we happen to have it, we don't deserve it, we're not worthy of it, you can feed on that for months. You can feed on that for months. And the scripture says in Revelations, we won't turn there, in several places, that these folks who believe it are some from every kindred, every tribe, nation, and tongue. Lastly, Grace is eternal. And I'm so thankful that it is. Grace is eternal. It's not given and then taken back. Grace is eternal. Grace was, by God, determined to whom it was to be received through the preaching of His gospel before the world began. 2 Timothy chapter 9. 2 Timothy chapter 9. And I can't go to this verse without thinking of John Seebaugh, who loved this verse. He absolutely loved this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us? We speaking in context, keep it the verse 8, power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That verse right there almost was my whole outline. It says right there, just practically. This blood-bought work of grace, it will be heard, it will be believed upon, and it'll have its way with those whom He's chosen, because it proceeds from God Himself, and He says He shall not fail. I know it gets discouraging, and we get concerned about our neighbors, our children, our parents, or whoever. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep praying. Just keep asking God for grace. And if it's His good pleasure, we'll see Him. We'll see Him. Because it proceeds from God. His word will not come back void. Hebrews chapter 13. This grace is eternal. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. This gospel is eternal. And He says everlasting, which is eternal. It is sure to all the seed which was before promised to Him, to the Son, by His Father. Closing, let's turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts. Acts chapter 15 and verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. He's talking about the circumcision and the Gentiles. But we believe this. It's in the scriptures. That through the grace, there is no salvation apart from Christ. There is no salvation apart from grace. There is no salvation apart from faith, repentance. These are all graces, gifts, sovereignly, absolutely, dominantly bestowed upon those who believe. And they believe by grace. So I ask myself and I ask you, do I believe upon Christ? Do I know the grace of God? Do I know Christ unto salvation? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And I know the parents tell their kids this. Do what you can, grow up, be what you want, be what you can, and all these different things. But the most important thing is to know Christ, is to understand Christ, to believe Him, to believe His gospel. And it's all through grace. Can't take any credit. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And I am so thankful that He saves by Christ, and that's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Matt, would you close this, please?